Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Jesus, we adore your holy name. There is none compared to you. Blessed be your name, Father of all glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's get seated. So today is a vision on Super Sunday, like we call it. Sometimes we call it Super Sunday. Sometimes we call it Vision Sunday. Amen. Amen. So we'll start in the administrative side, then we'll dive deep into God's word. So we'll start from the administrative side. Hallelujah. In our Vision Sunday or Super Sunday, most times we try to steer the vision. We try to steer the vision. Can you remember the vision? All right, so can we read the vision? One, two, go. Preaching of the gospel, which is the power of God on salvation. Isn't that interesting? That we don't want anybody to go to hell, not because we are powerful enough to stop people from going to hell, but God has given us the instrument to making sure his purpose for humanity is truly achieved. What is his purpose? He brought a kingdom. He wants everybody to be part of this kingdom. And doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Is that it? And the gospel is more like, my friend will call it the sequel for the harvest. But rather than saying sequel, I would say the instrument for the harvest. Imagine you want to harvest your plantation. What you need is whatever instrument that will be able to harvest those things, isn't it? So the gospel of Jesus is an instrument for the end time harvest. The Bible speaking, Jesus in his very words said the harvest is what? Plenteous. But he said the laborers are what? A few. Now, do you believe what Jesus said? Are you in church this morning? Do you believe what Jesus said? He said the harvest is what? Plenteous. In other words, Jesus is saying there are a lot of people in this world that are not supposed to go to hell. Plenteous. You know, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says even the spoils he saved. Meaning God saved everybody in this world, not almost everybody. You know, one time I said God saved everybody. Somebody said, are you sure? I said, yes, salvation is for everybody. Do you believe that?
Yes,
now see what he said in John 12 and 31. I want every one of us to read together. Give me the Amplified Rendition. I prefer that for this part of scripture. All right. So can we read together, church? One, two, go. It says, that is at the resurrection, isn't it?
Yes,
when Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, he destroyed Satan. Remember? Let's just see that Hebrews 2:14, so people know that we are not joking when we say Satan has been destroyed. When they cast out, Bible language here meant that you just take something that is of no use and you throw it away. It's the same style of writing that Paul wrote in Colossians 2:14-15 when he said he emptied Satan's ability. You know, when the Bible said he dismantled or emptied Satan, that's the same style of writing, cast out here. You know, he said when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, the supernatural forces against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captive in a what? Triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. The word disarmed there is the same word for cast out there. It's more like emptying something because it is of no use. Are we together? So Satan's ability has been disarmed. It has been emptied. It has been cast out because it is of no use. Are we together? That's how powerless Satan is. Now let's go to where we were. The focal point is the next part of scripture. The Bible says the judgment of this world is that Satan has been destroyed. Not that God will destroy the world, but that Satan has been what? Destroyed. So that is why he said, you are the light of the world. He wants you to come into the world and cast out darkness. More like implementing the authority he achieved on the cross. Alright? So when he won the devil on the cross, then he wants you to implement that authority in every part of the world you find yourself. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So as you become light of the world, as you get into any system, the same thing that happened to Satan on Calvary happens to him in that system again. We see a replay. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And see what he then says in the next part of scripture. He then says, and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, not like just raising him up when he resurrected into heaven. No. He said lifted up from the earth. He meant on the cross. When he was on the cross. When he died, was buried and resurrected. He said in that capacity, I'll be able to what? Draw all men to myself. Now in those days, there are two sets of human beings. The Jews and the Gentiles. Gentiles are any other person apart from the Jews is a Gentile. Are we together? So what they meant by Gentiles as well as Jews simply means the whole universe. So God wants to save everybody, but he said that would be only possible if I fulfill what brought me to the earth. Dying, being buried, and what? Resurrected. He said in that capacity, I have what it takes. What it would take to draw the whole world. He didn't say some part of the world. He said the whole world will be made active. Are we together? And if we are wise now, what will we preach to the whole world? Like Paul was said in Philippians, he said, I desire to know nothing amiss a congregation but what? Jesus and him being crucified. Because that's the hope of the whole world. He said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. Something wonderful happened in the wilderness. They were beaten by a serpent, the children of Israel, in the Old Testament. Are we together? And the influence of that poison was upon them. They were suffering. And when Moses sought the Lord told him to mirror Christ. You know, everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? When they were slaying lambs and doing all sorts of sacrifices, they were mirroring, if there's any English like that. Is there an English like that? Mirroring. Okay, thank God. They were mirroring Christ Jesus. Yes. They say there's an English. Some of you have started joking with it. Mirroring Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when they slew a lamb in the Old Testament, and on the blood, the strength of the blood of that lamb, their sins were atoned for. It was not because lamb have power in the supernatural. No. No, that was significant to Jesus when he comes. Now, the angels were teaching them what will happen at the coming of Jesus. Showing them in their practices in the Old Testament. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb that what? Takes away the sins of the world. So everything they were doing was to school them. The Bible said the law is more like a schoolmaster. Are we together? You can call it maybe remedias, preparing people for real 100 level. So when you live by the law, you are still in the university environment. You may feel like a student, but if you don't pass your jam, if you don't You know, I don't know if you have done remedials before. There's this feeling that you are a student until you fail your exam. Then your eyes will be open. Then you go back home again and wait for 1 year. Have you been there? And just thank God, just trust God that it's 1 year. Else, if you don't pass your exam again, you are going to be there. At home, after tasting remedials, university life, you felt like you come back. People say, how's school now? And after 1 year, they see you not going back. They say, you not go back again? And you tell them we're on break. So the law is more like remedials. Are we together? If you are practicing the law, you may feel like a Christian, but you are not an actual Christian. Yes, knowing Christ is like passing jam that makes you an actual Christian. Alright, they all were pointing to Christ. So God is not wanting us to practice all of those things in the Old Testament, no. In fact, if you practice them, then you are funny to God. Because he said in Hebrews 10 and 5. Let's see from verse 4. In Hebrews 10. It said, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Are you seeing that? Meaning, even in the Old Testament, these things were not taking away sins. Alright? God was just teaching them what is to come. When Christ will come, he will die, be buried, and what? Resurrected. Little wonder the Bible says in, is it Ephesians 4, or Galatians 4 somewhere, it said Christ is the end of the law. What part of scripture is that? Galatians 4, 5, and 6. You are being cunning. It's supposed to be one part of scripture. It says 4, 5, and 6. Galatians 4, 5, or 6. Have you ever seen where they quote scripture like that? Now, so that he might redeem and liberate those who are under the law. Are you sure we are there? Verse 6. Verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Let's read verse 4. Presbyter is wrong. My own is in Ephesians. Eh? If I read Romans 10, 4, and I don't see that thing, you come out now and meet this church and tell them, you don't know the Bible. Is it Romans 10, 4? Give me the one in Romans 10, 4. For Christ is the end of the law. It leads to, not just NKJV. One to go, everybody, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Okay, he's in Ephesians 2, he's in Romans. All right, Christ is the end of the law simply means Christ is the end of all of the Judaistic practices. All of their practices in the Old Testament, Christ ended it. When Christ came, then we stopped sacrificing lambs. Are we together? Because we just read right now that God never used those things to take away sins. Isn't it? That's Hebrews 10 and what? 4. The Bible said those the blood of goats and bulls were not enough to take away sins. They were more like God showing them how it's going to work when Christ comes. More like an algorithm. Are we together? Are you people together? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. So all of those things were not enough. Alright? The Bible said, if I, Jesus speaking, be lifted up, go back there again, on the cross, he said, in that capacity, something about me is going to be revealed that will shape the whole world and get them coming to me. Because we had read somewhere, you remember I was saying what was happening in the Old Testament with Moses, right? And, you know, there was the poison were in them, but when they look at the cross, what happens? Even though the poison were in them, the poison had no effect. Are you guys here tonight? Shout amen. Even though the poison, you know, Satan happened to me, Pastor. 5 years ago, I was addicted to these. 10 years ago, I was addicted. Now, no problem. Leave the poison in you. Forget about the poison. Look up to Jesus, the author and the word, finisher of your faith. The effect will not happen to you again. It might be there, but no effect. Oh death, where is your stink? Where is your stink? So the devil can keep on hitting, but no effect. He might have hit you before, but right now, if you look up to the cross, no effect, because the cross is the beginning of your life and the end of your life. The one on the cross is the beginning and the end of your life. Anything not found in Jesus should not be found in you. And that is why you can say things like, I refuse to be sick. Want to go. Everybody say that. Because Jesus is not sick. Jesus was not sick. And Jesus cannot be sick. If Jesus did not sin, I will not sin. These truths are powerful truths. But Simon, we are human beings. How do we believe this? Who told you that? Who created you? Is it... Who is the God of Igbo people? Let me start from there. Who is the founding father of Igbo land? You know, in Tiv we know Takuruku, right? If I'm not mistaken. There's Takuruku, right? Igbo is who? Huh? Iri. She said Iri. Her name is Pastor Anne. She said Iri. In Idoma, who? It was a colony that founded Idoma. There's supposed to be one man that they can point to. And people don't know here. I was taught history, social studies in Jez. Yes, so I remember Takuruku. And as they say, Iri now. I didn't do that. But Idoma, you don't have? Okay. Abi, you don't know. Igede people, who? Okay, it's Idoma that founded Igede. You are finding trouble. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, you people don't know the people that found, the founding fathers of your, it's unfortunate. So, we've been able to, we know that in Tiv land is Takuruku. Then we know that in Idoma land, in Igbo land, they say it's Iri. Is Iri the person that gave birth to Igbo people? No. Is Takuruku the person that gave birth to Tiv people? No. Who created you? You know, I was arguing with kind of argument. And he was telling me, there's no way we can live like God on the earth. And I took him back to his doctrine. He didn't know I came out from such a place. So I reminded him of his doctrine. I said, God, who made you? He said, God made me. And I said, why did God made you? God made me to know him, love him in this world, serve him in this world. And I said, in whose image and likeness did God make you? And I said, God made me his own image and likeness. And I said, really? There's another one, but I've forgotten that one. This likeness to God. Something like that. He now said, yeah, but it's not supposed to be like that. I said, look at you. Something you said, and I said, it's not supposed to be like that. God made you in his word, image, and what? Likeness. See, stop thinking more that you are a thief man than any tribe in this world. I mean, than a kingdom man. An Igbo man than a kingdom man. An Idoma man than a kingdom man. God is the one that created you. And put in your mom's womb. You are first a kingdom person before you are any tribe. It's so funny that we found ourselves in different localities and it's even determining our marriage relationship. That's the funniest thing that ever hit heaven. So why will you not marry him? Say, it's Igede. Say, really? And God is like, you are cracking God in heaven. It's like night of a thousand laughs. It's the funniest thing that's ever hit heaven. Are we together? You know, some people are even funny. They say, this tribe, they know they take care of their women well. Have you heard people like that? That tribe, they do this. How can you talk like that? You know, anybody that talks like that, believe me, this school did not have effect on them. They went to. Because if you truly went to school, listen, I'm not trying to insult. There's one last course you do in 400 level. What's the name of that course? For writing project. Research what? And there's a way they taught us on, there's a way they try to make us understand how to conclude on a matter. You can't look at one or two people and conclude on a matter. You have been funny. Some of you, the reason why you grew up to believe that a certain tribe is bad is because your parents said they are bad. You don't even know anything about the tribe. I've asked, when I was starting ministry, I remember, I'll ask people what tribe I'm. They can't guess my tribe. Even now, some of you don't know my tribe. And I've not come painting my tribe on my face and painting it on other people's face. Because it doesn't matter. I remember the first day my father said I must marry from a certain tribe. I started laughing. I was not stubborn. I was just confident. I laughed. And I said to him, let's just imagine I'm not from the tribe because I've never gone to the village. Then he started laughing too. And I said to him, nobody can choose wife for me because of tribe. I said that to him. He told my mother that I've given up on this boy. That's why he told my mother jokingly. It's the truth. You can't look at me and say, you must marry from a certain tribe. It's not possible. If I say any sweetheart anywhere, I will marry the sweetheart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's how you think as a child of God. God brings a man your way, you now say, which tribe you be? God will carry his man and go. Shall be his man you are looking for. Man come now and say, which tribe? My mother say, make I no marry from this. Like your mother go stay with the person. The one your mother married to, how have they finished? In fact, some, they choose them the same local government. They say, he was mine from this local government. And most times, it's mothers that are choosing them. Fathers don't even know what to say. They just looking. You know, those days, they say there are different kinds of... there's mother-in-law, there's father-in-law, there's brother-in-law, there's sister-in-law. Now, what do you call a wife? They say the wife is the law. And I heard another story of a man in a church. They said, if your wife controls you, come to this side. And everybody came to this side, but the man sat down with his wife at this side. And the pastor said, your wife don't control you. He said, sir, my wife said I should sit here. Is that serious? So you be in the house, fathers will just be keeping quiet, mothers will be telling you who to marry. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, seeing God's plan that he wants the whole world for himself, that is why he created what we call the church. The church system. Everybody say the church system. The church system is God-oriented. The church system is the pseudocode through which God wants to take over the whole world for himself. So you see why Satan is fighting the church. Are you seeing it? Satan will fight the church because the church system is the only way. And when we say Satan will fight the church, we don't mean Satan will come and say, I'm Satan. I want to fight you people. No. Satan will begin to send his own agent to become home pastors. Just to give the church a bad name. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I mean, there are a lot of people who have given up on church because of what church did to them. Yes. And it is a devil that ran and went there and made sure he painted the church wrongly. I was hearing the story of a lady who said she will never go to church in this town. She said she's not never going to go to church again. And when one of my leaders was asking her why, because we were trying to invite her to church, she said, because the people that misbehave that I know in churches are the ones I see on the billboards. Now, I was asked a question. These people who are misbehaving, all of them entirely, are they foolish people? Not entirely foolish people. You see, when you are not committed to really learning wisdom, some people, they ran into ministry before time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They didn't have sufficient training. I always say sufficient training. We don't mean staying in a place, lock yourself in a place for 10 years. That's not what makes you a qualified minister of the gospel. Because there are people who have stayed in 15 years training to become ministers, and when they are done, they are still committing atrocities. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible speaks about a wise builder in Luke 6 that digs the ground and builds his house on a rock. It's not about building your house. It's about making sure you build the house on the right foundation. Are we together? For us, the right foundation is the knowledge of Christ. If you teach people anything in seminaries and Bible schools and pastoring schools and etc., it doesn't really matter. You have to teach the right thing. The right message is most important. Are we together? Yeah. It's not about teaching people. You know, I trained for 15 years before I became a pastor. You will still misbehave if you are not on the right foundation. I had read that part of scripture several times to you. The Bible said, if you see a man that hears God's word and can do it, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on what? The rock. And when the flood arose, because the flood will definitely arise, I mean. And the stream beat it vehemently. The Bible said, and could not shake it, for it was what? Founded on the rock. Why was the man not, the building not shaking? Was it because, now we're talking about human beings here, likening them to buildings. Why will you not shake in your walk with God? Is it because you are sincere? No! There are a lot of sincere ministers of the gospel who have made mistakes. It takes more than sincerity to become a good, the right preacher. You know, a holy, righteous preacher. It takes more than being sincere. Who told you that everybody that wanted to become a pastor had it in their mind that they are going to be foolish in their walk with God as pastors? No. They probably went there with a very good intention. But somehow, when the flood of life rose against them and beat them vehemently, they fell. Even though they were sincere. Why? They didn't build their foundation, their house, their righteousness on the rock. So there's information that we need to have that will make sure we are standing and cannot be touched by Satan. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. There's an information. That is why you see Paul in Ephesians 1 and 18. Let's read together. Paul in Ephesians 1 and 18. It said, the eyes of your understanding. Now, these are people who were born again. Are we together? We'll start from 17. They were born again, but it was not enough for Paul. When they became born again, Paul said, next thing. It's not enough to be born again. He said, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you what? A spirit of what? Wisdom and of what? Revelation. That gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of Him. For we know the Father through the Son. Next part of scripture. He then says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the center, the very center and core of your being, may be what? Enlightened. And what? Flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will what? Know. The word know, there is the word epignosis. Everybody say that with me. Want to go? Epignosis. Say it again. Because New Testament is translated in Greek from the original Old Testament in Hebrew. Now, epignosis simply means accurate and precise knowledge. Paul is telling us that it is possible we have an accurate and what? Precise knowledge of God. Not some assumption. How many of you have an accurate knowledge of your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your friends here? You know exactly. You are not raised. Some people don't like to participate in church. It's a bad character. If you have an accurate knowledge of anybody here, raise your hand up. Accurate knowledge. Some people don't even know if they have an accurate knowledge of somebody. You know the best food of your friend, the best food of your dad, the best food of your mom. Some of you know it, isn't it? Some of us will only suggest or assume. But you know. Look at a man and say, this man will like fufu very well. Because of I'm seeing his face like he would like to. You know, he looks like somebody that would throw the fufu up and he'd bring it poop. But maybe the wife will now tell me, no, he likes fried rice. So. And I'll be like, such a face should not like fried rice. Then the one that you think should like fried rice. Have you seen ladies like that like fufu? Fine girls. And I imagine they should like chocolate and shawarma. And they'll now break your heart. What do you like? Just bring me three fufu and be like, what? Because you were trying to judge them based on what you are seeing physically. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But they eat fufu to the core. And some is pig meat. And you are wondering, would you want chicken from KFC? You say, no. What do you want? Yangyo. But their faces don't look like that. And that's why there's a saying that says you don't judge a book by its cover. So Paul is like, you cannot assume that. You know, some people, when they became born again, they now assume that God will not like earring. God will not like this. God will not. So they now say, God, the way you are, the way we read about you, burning bush and the rest, and fire catching in the Bible, you know, go like shine things. So they stop wearing earring. But what shook them is that when they were reading the Bible, they now saw where God was describing his own people with earring. He says Zion is like a city that adorns herself with jewelries. And the Bible says you have come to Zion and you hate jewelries. You are not in Zion. You know, I taught this in church one time when we were students in BSU. And a lady, the next Sunday I saw that she puts long, she didn't used to wear earring. So I was looking for her in church. I said, where is this girl? Where is the nun? Should I say, woo! Now, we are not saying that some of you, know, some people are happy now because their earring used to touch ground. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For some of you, we don't know what spirit is working on your inside. It is not you we are preaching this one for. We are talking about the normal ones that wear normal human beings' earring. How can you say, and the Bible did not say Zion adorns both different ears in her hair and nose. The Bible says Zion is like a woman that adorns herself here. Poop, oh, poop, oh, poop. Poop. I know, I saw it on Facebook. They were boring the nose to put here. And they were, yeah! So I said, who sent this one? Let me ask a sincere question. What are we achieving with bowing our nose? What is the achievement? Let me close my eye and think. Maybe I will see it. Nothing. Vanity. Foolishness. Nothing. Taboo. Tahu. Nothing. The only thing you gain is pain. Listen, we're not condemning you. We're just telling you that you are on the wrong path. You know, so this, why are they condemning? Waiting there. So, person, okay, waiting there if you don't put on for your nose. Waiting there if person put. Okay, waiting there if you don't put. If he is, he no put. Pastor is condemning leg chain. You know, somebody met me many years ago in my office. He said, sir, I was enjoying your preaching until you condemn leg chain. I said, sorry. Oh. I said, but why will you have a problem with me condemning? He said, sir, because they are human beings too. I said, yes, of course. I didn't condemn them. I just told them that it's wrong. He said, but there is nothing bad there to put on. I can marry a lady that put on nose ring and leg chains. I said, you can? He said, yes. I said, good. Me too. So he was surprised that I said, me too. Now, who said I will not marry a lady that put on nose rings and this thing? I will not marry you. I will date you and marry you when you stop putting it on. Do you understand? You didn't get what I'm trying to explain. All marrying are married. The Bible says, listen, it said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. It said, then wash her with the word. Meaning, I'm dating you. First thing I would tell you, remove your nose ring. Because the Bible says, in fact, not the Bible says, because it's not right. Somebody asked me many years ago on campus, Pastor Simon, if you show me where they write, do not take Igbo in the Bible, I will stop taking it. With his Igbo on his hands. And I checked my heart. I said, no, God didn't see this coming. I mean, God didn't know that one day he created leaves for different purposes. Leaves for us. Then one day Nigeria started grinding the leaves. I'm sure that thing shook heaven. And I'm like, come and see something. What the heck is happening in Africa? And when they grinded, God, now imagine God was watching with angels. And everybody was like, didn't we create this thing to cure this thing? Or that thing? Some people think God was so wonderful, he created Igbo for smoking. Igbo leaves. No! Do you know that leaf has a very unique purpose? But they change it and they are abusing it. So I said to him that I don't think angels foresaw us smoking leaves. But I said, I have an answer for you. The Bible said in the New Testament, the law will not be on tablet of stones. It will be in our hearts. Because Ten Commandments, how many sins did this world? Is it 10 sins that we have in this world? Then we have 10 commandments. When the angel finished writing, because the angel gave the law to Moses, when the angel was with Moses, added 300 plus. The thing is not, he did not still do. He can just be playing and fighting. And when they fight and they cannot, they're not, Moses, this thing happened to us. What do you mean Moses will not create law? Anytime there's a problem, Moses is adding law. There was a law that says when you catch a witch, stone her to death. Some people carry that one. He now says if any young man speaks against his father, raises his voice on his father, he says stone him to death. Some of you would have died if you were in the days of Moses. Because to Moses, that was an atrocity. You know, I was somewhere fixing my car in New Garage, and one young boy was shouting for one old man. So, I didn't know that he was shouting because I was operating my phone. When I turned, I saw he was shouting. Then I held my heart like this. It shook me. And I called him, hey! And outside, I said, come. The man said, Pastor, don't worry, leave them. That's how they... I was so shocked. I said, you are shouting. People were looking at me like I was sounding abnormal. I said, you are shouting at an elderly man that can burn you 5 times. I didn't know when I said, can shake in it. In the days of Moses, they will catch you and put in the front and stone you to death because you are not worthy to be alive. You see how the law was brutal, huh? I'm sure Moses was tired of their problem. That's why I said, kill anybody that disturb anybody. He was just tired. There were a lot of laws. A lot. If we start reading it, there's a part of the law that said, do not shave the sides of your hair. You are shaving. Some of you, that's your best time. When you finish carving, you now say they should touch the side. I know now as I'm talking, some of you are feeling guilty. It's not for you. The people left Egypt. The Babalawos of Egypt were known. Not because shaving the sides of your hair is bad. You know, somebody asked me that question in Kaduna. The guy started copying my hairstyle. Those days when I was very young, I used to shave the sides of my hair. You know, I would carve and this is where I do it. And it was so lovely. Now I'm old, so I can't do some of those things. Hallelujah to Jesus. Not because it's bad. I just felt like I would not do it again. Amen. This one now is marriage hairstyle. Because, hallelujah to Jesus. Don't worry, when you marry, your hairstyle will change. You think I'm joking. You will not understand. Pastor Emma, your hairstyle is okay to do. It's like Ochanya touch the hair. Okay, Amen. Because when he married too, his hairstyle changed. The hair started entering inside. It was not coming outside. It's like he used to forget to comb the hair. Hallelujah to Jesus. The young man ran to me and he said, Pastor, this, that. The Bible says Leviticus 16. And I said, I never saw that in the Bible. So I said, give me time. I'll answer you later in the evening. When I went and checked, it was for the Babalawos of Egypt. When they want to do sacrifices, it was their culture. They were known for shaving. They would do it like a pyramid. They would just shave it like this. So when they move, people would know, Babalawos will be that. So Israelites there were copying their lifestyle. And it's not this kind of shaving the size of our hair. They are almost like a pyramid. Shave it like this. Are we together? Israelites now started copying that lifestyle because they were in Egypt. Do you know why God wanted them to live there? It's not because they didn't have food to eat though. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They were eating. Some of their guys were even given appointment to Israelites there. God says they live there. Why? Because they were following the culture of the Egyptians. They were being influenced by what? The Egyptians. So God said, leave Egypt. You know, some of you, when you became Christian, God said, leave where you were. So when God said, live there now, you are wondering, because where you were, you used to collect some kind of money. You had a Niger bet this thing, job, or shop. And they didn't give you money. But when you became born again, they say, stop doing Niger bet. They say, sir, if I stop doing Niger bet, I can't eat again. It's good that you should not be able to eat. You don't know? If you like, say you will die, it's fine. Die. Die for God. Most of the people is fear. If you don't leave that Niger bed today, it will kill you and it will kill your feet. It will kill your feet. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I remember there was a lady coming here. I told her, stop walking in a Niger bed whatsoever. She was finding it difficult because the thing was paying off very well. I had to say, stop. And she told me she used to quarrel there very well. You know, some people, when they lose, they want to fight and collect their money back. And they have to quarrel. I said, all of this thing is exposing you to a lot of wrong things. Until it really got to her faith. And affected her faith. Are we together? Yes, you were selling alcohol. You'll be wondering, how will I do now if I stop selling alcohol? It doesn't matter. Stop selling alcohol. First things first. Stop it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So that's what God did. He told them, leave everything. Follow Moses. Follow him. And they followed. And that is why Moses started observing the characters of the Egyptians in what? And that's what is happening in the church today. We've left Egypt though. We're in the wilderness. But we are bringing back the character of Egypt into the church. Are you observing? When they begin to shave their hair like that, Moses says, stop it! It's wrong. Now, how many of you have observed in our days now how gospel musicians are behaving? You can't tell who is a gospel singer. When we talk, they'll say, no, God is bringing revolution to the gospel. Maybe God, they bring this revolution. He's a devil. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? You know, some of you, your collection of music now, some of you that didn't like gospel song, now you have some gospel song. After you're done listening to Whiskey, then you listen to one that sounds like Whiskey in the gospel area. Say, so, I like this song. Oh my God. In voice, they like Whiskey. It's wrong. And when you look at their dressing, all of us here, we cannot deny that the dressing is not right. Somebody said he wants to be the Burner Boy version of in the gospel. You can imagine. So anything Burner Boy does in that world, he will come and do it for us in the gospel and add the name of Jesus. So we are not missing out in anything. Whatever is happening in the world, we are enjoying it in the church low-key. Are you people catching what I'm trying to explain to you? It's wrong. Any small thing, I heard the pastor saying that. He said he just entered his church one Sunday. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2, 3, 4, 5. He said, which kind of mumutin is this one? He now said they should tell them to stop that rubbish. Inside the praise, they had to stop it. Because the person was a TikToker that was leading the praise that day. She has said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that one praising God? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2. When go-go-go-go started. And the funny thing is that it's 1 week it used to trend. The indiscipline. One lady now did it in church. Says, just do Satan, go-go-go-go. If you like, call Satan. We still know you just want to enjoy the moment. Say, do Satan, go-go-go-go. Satan, go-go-go-go. Go-go-go-go-go. That was why Moses was warning the Israelites. He's doing Satan, go-go-go-go. Moses, stop that one. Stop. You learned that in the world. Stop it. There was one practice again that was of prostitution, if you remember. But they misunderstand it in the church today. He said, a man should not wear what pertaineth to a woman. Can you remember that law? Yes, a man should not wear what pertaineth. It's not trouser we're talking about. Because in those days, there was no trouser. So Moses was not talking about trouser. Everybody used to wear gown. In the Old Testament, in the days of Jesus, even Jesus wore gown. But today, if you wear gown as a man, you are a suspect. Except in this Hausa kaftan. I think that's what they even used to wear. But almost ladies, to everybody, there was no blouse, buba, all those things that hand. No, those days, there was nothing like that. Everybody wear the same cloth. But when they go to their clubs, they used to have club too, but they didn't call it club. When they go for their parties, if a woman likes a man in the party, what she'll do is that she'll remove her shirt and throw for the man. The man too will remove his shirt, throw for the woman, they will not change. And we'll now go home together. So Moses knew that practice. So Moses now observed that in their camp, they started removing cloth and throwing it on each other. Because it was boring. They wanted it to be fun. When Moses heard that, he said, you should not do that. He now wrote a law against it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It's not about trouser. Because if we use logic, was there trouser in those days? So how did he write about trouser? Now, there were several laws like that. So I told the young man smoking Indian hemp. I said, in the New Testament, we don't follow laws written. We're not limited to laws written. I mean, that we're not limited to that. I said, the law of God is in our hearts. Meaning when you are doing what is wrong, your heart will tell you it is wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What database must you have to qualify you to decipher between wrong and right? Let's see in Hebrews 5 from 12. The Bible clearly tells us there what we need. Now let's read one to go. For though by this time you ought to be what? He said, but you need someone to what? And you have come to need milk and not what? Now mark these two words, milk and solid food. Next part of scripture. For everyone who partakes only of milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe, a child. Next part of scripture. So you see, they replace the solid food for word of righteousness in that part of scripture. That's 13. It said, but solid food belongs to those who are of what? Full age. That is those who by the reason of use have their senses. Meaning when you use that solid food, when you have and use it, then your senses become what? Exercise. Train to discern the difference between what? Good and what? Evil. So when you partake of the words of righteousness, the words that tell you your place in Christ, when you know God by knowing Jesus Christ properly, are we together? You come to a point where you can now tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right, because you now have the actual knowledge that you need. It is when you know God fully that you know everything that is not of God. Let me say it again. It is when you know God that you know everything that is not of God. If you know, for instance, Oche in this church, any other person that is not Oche, you can tell. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So it takes Oche to know who is not Oche. So if we know God, we know what is not of God. The best way to know all the laws of God is to know God himself. If you know God and everything he stands for, then you know everything by default that he doesn't stand for. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now this is how God put his law in our heart. He caused us to know him. So in the New Testament, it's not about blah, blah, blah. No, we know God in the New Testament. So we know what is not of God. For instance, the counsel of God's word, which is the more sure of prophecy, says that the enemy has come but to what? And to what? And to what? So let's do the math. Anything that steals from you is from who? Anything that kills you is from who? Anything that destroys you is from who? What of God's plan? Jeremiah said it is plan for good and not of evil to give you an expected end. You see that? Meaning God's plan will make sure everything in your system, spirit, soul and body is good. If you do something and it's working for your body, it's good and it's God's plan. If you do anything and it's killing you, it's bad and it's Satan's plan. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So, does alcohol kill people? Yes. Some people say, we eat alcohol every day in our bread and etc. What does alcohol do in bread? Does it make you high? What does it do in bread? It has a function in bread. Isn't it? Now you yourself, you look at alcohol, they say, this thing where they this bottle of alcohol, you say, give me alcohol. You carry alcohol, you drink alcohol. So alcohol now is preserving your body. So you say, but Simon, there's nothing there to drink alcohol. Okay, don't drink it if there's nothing there to drink it. Don't drink alcohol. If alcohol is nothing, don't drink it. It's because alcohol is something for you. That's why you are drinking it. In fact, some this evening they may go and still sit down and say, madam, pass it on. It's wrong. It will Satan will use that to steal from you, to kill you, and to what this forget about culture. I know some of you are saying, how can I be a thief man, an Idoma man, an Igbo man, and not take no, I'm a man. I'm not a woman. Give me star. Don't give me that JD. You know, I had a neighbor who taught me what he calls Zazu. I wake up in the morning and he's coming back with Zazu. I said, what is that? He said, sir, it's medicine. I said, which kind of medicine is this that you take every morning and evening? He said, no, it washes your body. Pastor, you want test? I said, what? That is cleaning his body. That's why he doesn't have all this malaria and yeye sickness. Hallelujah to Jesus. But observe, many people that drink, diabetes used to finish them. Am I saying the right thing? Why? Because there's even more sugar there than our natural, our normal drink we take. This is our Coke and Fanta, which is still wrong because it affects your body. It's not a sin, but it has effect on your body. So if you are wise, help yourself. The Bible says there's something they call sin against the body. That's one of it. You are killing yourself. There's a sickness that alcohol causes in the body. It's called intestinal ascorbates. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it fully well. Doctor, did I pronounce it? Okay, I tried. It is like you, as you take it, your intestines, they are wearing off, eating up. That's what happens to you when you take alcohol. Now, that thing happening to you, is it of God? It is of who? You know, some people who just, some preachers, indiscipline. You see them on the podium because they are taking it. See, don't be deceived though. There are some preachers that are high before they come and preach for you. You think they are in the spirit. They are not in the spirit. They are in the highness. And when they are jumping, you say, Kai, this pastor get an anointing. Don't be fooled. You think everybody that came to this podium, they fell from heaven? They are all human beings. Some people said that became born again, they took their traditional religion and came to the altar with it. They will tell you, bring one bucket of water next week for anointing water to bath. Things like that. So you have to be careful how you listen to the word of God. Are you listening to me? Someone came, I think I was watching him. He said, the wine Jesus turned water to in the Bible is called buzu. And he said, buzu is alcoholic wine. He said, Jesus turned water to alcoholic wine. I shook my head. You know, Elihu said something in the book of Job. He said, I thought gray hair should be reciprocal to wisdom. He said, but Kai, no, I got it wrong. He said, there's a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Holy Ghost giveth him what? Understanding. I lost respect for him when I just heard that. Because he didn't do his due diligence. That was wrong. Jesus did not change water to buzu. The root word there is olam. Everybody say olam. The Bible is so disciplined, they can't. There's no mistake. Olam simply means wine. You are the one now to do the calculation and see whether it's bad wine. You know, I will not lie for you. You say bad wine. The Bible never says bad wine. It says water to wine. So now we do our research. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because wine sometimes can mean bad wine or good wine in scripture. But you have to check context to understand what kind of wine. Understand their culture. The Bible said their culture entails that when you go for a wedding, you first take the good wine, right? And when evening is doing like this, when mothers and children are going home, they then start serving the bad wine so that fathers can take before they come home. But Jesus turned the thing upside down. The one they took that they felt like it was good, Jesus proved to them it was still even bad. The one Jesus brought and they served them was so pure. And they were saying, what kind of thing is this one? In other places, they first serve the good wine before the bad wine. But this man, he did it differently. Why? Because Jesus wanted their eye to clear. He didn't want them to go home like this. Are you seeing the intelligence of scripture here? How can you say Jesus change water to shekpe? You don't have fear of God. You might think about that thing. We are just lying to ourselves. Most of us arguing that thing. We are lying to ourselves. Yes, if God stands before you and says, see me here. Tell me what I do. Maybe you change water to shekpe for scriptures. Will you be able to tell God that kind of thing? You know that God cannot do that kind of thing. Look at the way alcohol is destroying lives. Then Jesus will now go and change water to alcohol. Gulda. You know, I had a friend many years ago in Kaduna. I was talking to him about alcohol. He said, sir, even God said we should praise him with a harp. And I said, where in scripture did God say praise him with a harp? He now opened the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord with a harp. I said, he said, that's why I like only harp. So he said, anytime I take harp, I am praising God. I said, this one is finished. Where will I even start the preaching from? I said, this is not harp. He said, he does not care. He doesn't care which harp. That the only harp he knows is the one he's drinking. I said, no, there's an instrument. He said, no. I left him because he knows what he's doing. Hallelujah to Jesus. I think he even mentioned other scripture. I mentioned some drinks like that, but I don't want to go into details. You know, some people, if they want to do bad things, they'll go and look for part of scripture. In fact, this smoking, it will shock you that some people can prove that God said we should, when we worship him, incense should rise. Frank incense should rise unto the Lord. You'll be like, who? Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you seeing that possibility? God wants us to take the whole world for him. The whole world. As we're saying this thing now, you can pick it that we're touching the right thing. Because when you take alcohol, it steals from you. It kills you. What? Destroys you. You are unproductive. Do you know the giants that alcohol has destroyed? Many giants in this world. Alcohol has destroyed them. Many giants. I hope you know the people that haven't produced alcohol, they don't take it like you. That's why they are still alive producing it. And some of them advise their children not to take it. I can tell you, if you can go and make it. Maybe the person that is even, his children doesn't take it. Because he knows what he's putting inside. You know, one time I was talking with a friend. I said, in our state now, one of the most productive industry is alcohol. So, imagine Nigerians clapping for us. Ah! Una they try. Una they flourish for alcohol. Is that a thing of joy? They say Benue is poverty. You take alcohol to an average local government. You take 2,000 bottles a day. It will finish. I heard it from somebody who was my neighbor. The person works there. Say they take 2,000 bottles to some local government. It will finish. The next day, they will go again. Carton. Then you say there's poverty. You, your areas, you know what happens in your area. If you can just do yangu and put fire smoke to be coming out and now put tables around, that's one of the most flourishing business in Benue State. We need to wake up. Are we together? We want to see a new day in our state. People have to see life differently. We have to see things what differently. We are the hope of the world, the light of the world. I tell you are the future of this state, all of you sitting here. If you can think different, if you can dare to dream, think differently, you will bring a new day to this state. I was telling some people, you know, when I was in the barracks, some people said I was somebody that created a movement against people becoming military. If you come close to me, you will never be a military man. If you are close to me in the barracks, you will never become a soldier. I killed the dream of most young people becoming soldiers. Not because I was telling them to be scared. But when I start talking to them, they find out that, because you know, in the barracks, as you are growing up, you want to be a soldier like your father. It's just by default. So when I understood the word of God and I knew what God wanted me to do, I had no interest there. And many of them, when they come, they realize, although I was giving birth in the barracks, it doesn't mean that I must be a soldier. That's how it can be. If you understand God's word, you may be giving birth in Benue. It doesn't mean that you should be influenced by the mentality here. Not all of us must be politicians. You know, one of the major topics in this state is politics. Young boys will gather somewhere with bikes. Ovisin. They found out that that's one of the easiest ways to get money. Becoming a politician. So, somebody becoming industrious, no way. Mangoes are wasting. Oranges are wasting. I used to ask my friend, I said, how was the mind of the first person that thought of five alive? How was his mind? I was just wondering, the impetus. Just woke up and said, I want to start something called five alive. Now, I imagine the people that were around him that laughed at him. His friends, five alive. He be Mumu. Isn't it that one? You heard the story of 7-Up, right? He tried the first one. He fell down. Second one, fall. Third drink, destroy. Fourth one, Till the seventh one, when the seventh one was promoted, he now says seven up. That's how you said it. Me now, if I see seven up and any other drink, I always choose seven up because I like the taste. Many people like the taste. He's a billionaire today because of seven up. He tried it the seventh time he woke. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say tonight? Very important. You can become a billionaire outside the government. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some people, when they think of the money they want to have, they look at where they are now and they don't want to start because they feel like they are too far from reality. Tell somebody, start now. Start now. They say, what I'm looking for, I cannot go there. You can. Back with the anointing. That anoint my head with oil, my cup, what? Are you here tonight? Hey, no movement so much. He said, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup. Now, the anointing is there. The idea is there. Diligence is there. Why will you not succeed? Say, I can never fail in my life. So we've seen the dream of God for the gospel, the whole world knowing Jesus, the church as a system he has created. Now, one thing the church needs, because today is Vision Sunday, to making sure that God's dream, because we can't just say the church, there are ingredients that make up the church, doctrine, good doctrine. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his, so is he. Meaning, if our teaching is wrong, our people that will be developed here will be wrong. Are we together? Because information determines the quality of your personality. If the information in your heart is wrong, your life will be wrong. You can never be better than what you know. Touch your neighbor and say, stop sleeping, be alive. Touch your neighbor. Just touch. Make sure you touch the neighbor. Say, don't sleep. Jesus is alive. Be alive. Don't be dead. Hallelujah to Jesus. We're almost done. Good doctrine. For instance, Matthew 15:9. I want everybody to read very, very alive. Matthew 15:9. Everybody want to go? Hey, church, are you alive? Read out loud. Want to go? Why are their worship to God in vain? Was it because they were not good people and sincere people? No. But because they took for doctrines the commands of men. NLT said the teaching of men. They took for doctrines the teachings of men. So their worship to God became in vain. Remember Luke 6. Luke 6 said, when you build your house on the rock, then when you hear God's word, you can do it, even though the flood of life and whatsoever beat you vehemently, isn't it? Because your life is built on the rock, right doctrine. Jesus asked a question on Luke 6, saying, who do men say that I am? He said, you are the Christ. He said, on this rock I will build my church, right doctrine. He said, if you know me on this knowledge, knowing me as the Christ, I'm going to build my church. He said, and if I build my church on this knowledge, he said, the gate of hell has no chance. So why will the gate of hell has no chance? Not because we are nice and good and etc., but because we are built on who? Christ. So good doctrine. And that's why Paul will send people, Titus, Timothy, to go and watch over churches. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If God wants to make sure that this vision is established, he will raise some of you to work in the ministry. And God doesn't want some to work in the ministry. God wants all to work in the ministry. Because we cannot be everywhere at the same time. Some of you have cells. It's a responsibility. You know, when I hear some people say they travel and left cell, I know it's ignorance. You don't know who you are. You don't know the assignment God has given you. Cell can make you not travel because you have an assignment. You ask yourself, if I travel, who will teach them? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is that important. The world will not even know how important it is. You have to teach them. So why are you not coming over for Christmas? Say, sell. I know some of you are wondering, Christmas? You say, sell. I have a cell I'm managing. You people know. It's been more than, when I was a student, more than 7 years I didn't go to see my family. More than 7 years. One time I announced I wanted to go and see them. As I went there, I came back and I preached on Christmas Day. Did I not? Yes, I spent less than 1 week. On Christmas Eve, I told my mother, I'm leaving, a day before Christmas Eve, I told my mother I'm leaving for Makurdi. She can remember. And everybody was surprised. I said, I have to go back. I have to preach on Sunday. Say, can another person not preach for you? I said, yeah, but I still have to preach. And I drove from Lagos. I entered this church from Lagos. I was the one that drove myself. Yes, I can drive like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Very important. Because of the assignment. One other thing again, administration. Everybody say administration. The way things should happen in church. The way things should happen in church. We have several departments and we have administration that cover. And every department is adding up for the growth of the church to fulfill the higher vision of God, isn't it? Meaning, if you are not participating rightly in the church, you are a problem to the church. Let's see scriptures. It says in Matthew, right? Let's see that scriptures. It says, if you are not for me, you are the enemy. Matthew what? 12 what? 12:30. Let's see it in the Message translation. The Message. Can we read everybody? One to go. And if you are, you are, and you, if you are not, you are. Want to go again? Want to go? This is war, and there is no neutral. If you are not on my side, you are the enemy. If you are not helping, you are making things worse. You cannot be a neutral Christian. What kind of a Christian? I want just to come church, make I sit down, make I hear Bible, just normal member. The Bible says you are the enemy. It's not me that said it. That's what the Bible said. It said, if you are not helping me, you are what? Now ask your neighbor. Say, do you have a department? Or you are the enemy? Say, are you the enemy? Or you have a department? What did your neighbor say? Are they the enemy? Meaning, this year my enemies are the one that don't have department. God's enemy. Because if you have a department, we can even hear your contribution in this church. Maybe you don't like the way our light is. You can send us a message from your department and say, sir, we don't like the lights. The light should be adjusted, blah, 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 blah. We'll not say you should send money for us to buy another one. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if you're in a department, you add up to God's work. You can't just sit down and be watching us. Do you know it's possible that we'll become a church of 1,000 in 3 months? If all of you say, okay, pastor, from today, I want to be serious with God. I want to be winning souls. In one month, we'll see the difference. But in 3 months, this place will not take us again. We'll have to start putting chairs outside and canopy. And it will be nice because a lot of people will know Jesus. Let me show you one kind of evangelism Jesus himself did in scripture. He told the 12 to go and preach. And make sure they fill the church premises. Have you seen it in the Bible? When they went, that kind of evangelism is called anakazo. Everybody say anakazo. It carries a compelling power. He said, if members don't come back. Have you ever seen any pastor do that kind of evangelism? He said, 12, if members don't come, you yourself don't come. Imagine I do that kind of thing. I say, next Sunday, if you don't bring one person, don't come to this church. Maybe we'll have just 100 people or 50 people. The rest will say, I don't get one person. Pastor say, make I don't come. So, wait till I go just flex. I beg, put that season 5 for me. So this is how God wants us to be very hardworking in the church. You don't know who you are preaching to tomorrow. There are some apostles that are in high level. They may just be moving around. They are apostles. Oh. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Who can imagine that? Who would have imagined that Paul is an apostle? Somebody that was at the front of killing Christians. If they want to kill a disciple, Paul is the one that used to hold their cloth. Give me your cloth, make I hope for you. Give me your book. You say, I have stone. When they finish, you give them, you now find them like 500. I say, well, now well done. Paul was the person that God now chose. You don't know the people you are seeing on those streets. I was meditating one time and I was telling my wife, I said, I can't tell how on earth I became a pastor. See, I'm too shocked. I'm very shocked. I'm shocked because when I think about where I'm coming from, who I used to be, I didn't used to kill. But there was no connection being a pastor. This is somebody that when they say fast, I'll go and look for someone and eat very well and come back. I've never fasted under the authority of my father. All the fasting were fake. All of them. I will clean my mouth with dust and rub it on my mouth and come back home. And they'll say, was it hard? I'll say, yes, sir. There was no connection. Playing football. I wanted to be a professional footballer. There was no connection. They invite me to church till they get tired. Where are you? My mother sent me. When they come, they'll see me playing football. And all of a sudden, I don't know how that fire happened. I found out I love praying. I found out I love going to church. I found out I began to lose interest for football. Not because football is a bad thing, but because that was not my calling. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? If I tell you some of my twists, you know, when I say I play football, some people used to look at me like this one. You know, you will not even believe it. But I truly play football. And I felt like, in fact, in the barracks, those days, they were thinking I was going to be one of the persons that will start playing professional football. Because I started playing professional football within Kaduna at the age of 10. I can use my boots to play professional football from the midfield. It was that serious. My father saw the potentials. Our neighbors saw the potentials. People saw it. I remember a man told me, he said, if you don't play football, it go pain me. He's late now. I play with people like Moses Simon. I'm not joking. I play with people like Kingsley in Bologna. I play with a lot of folks who are playing internationally today. They are my teammates. So I had this potential to really play football. And I quit. I remember Kingsley Mikeer. He told me something. He said, you are a very foolish boy. He's playing in Bologna. He said, how can you just wake up and say, God says you should not play football? You'll be mumu. That's how we stop talking. He recently just messaged me on Instagram. That's how we stopped talking. Now, the potential was so glaring. But that was not my calling. So, anytime I remember, I just think about the past. And I see myself preaching. I'm like, how the hell did I get here? Somebody brought the gospel to me. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And I discovered what God wanted me to do. That's how some of these strippers you have insulted in your neighborhood. Strippers. Now go to club every Friday. If you take the gospel, some of them are the next Catherine Coleman. Some of them, when they come to this church, if you see anointing, you know that you have not seen anointing before. They are called. Are you listening to me? That's why you must take the gospel to everybody. It is the sickle for the harvest. It's the instrument for the harvest. The Bible says the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to what? Everybody on the earth. Everybody. Tell somebody, have the boldness to take the gospel out there. Let any week not pass without you preaching the gospel. No week. No day. No opportunity. I don't take any opportunity for granted. My wife knows me. Every birthday, I'm in one local government preaching the gospel. Every birthday, I'm in another local government preaching the gospel. Very far from town. Because I believe they don't have privilege to hear the gospel. You know, one time I was in a local government and I was preaching the gospel in a room. I just stopped with my car, parked far, and I saw this house. So my spirit said I should preach there. So I knocked and I started preaching. When I was done, when I went to the next guy to preach in his house, he now said, Pastor, he's a young pastor. I said, yes. He said, what took you to that house to preach? I said, I was led to go there and preach. He said, for preaching there, I believe you are a pastor. I said, why? He said, that house is the house of prostitution. Those girls, people go there to sleep with them. So for you to know that you're supposed to preach there, preach to me. You see how God does his thing? That's how we exchange number with the guy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go out there, preach the gospel. No matter what you are doing, you have time to preach the gospel. If you don't have time to preach the gospel, you are doing a useless thing. You must have time to preach the gospel. Are you all listening to me? Very important. One last thing before we go. One other ingredient in the church that we need to making sure that the vision of God becomes a manifestation. Everybody say this word with me. Finances. Want to go. You are not saying it like you believe it. Want to go. Money. You can't deny the effect of money. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, for money itself is a defense. My wife told me something I will never forget. We were talking about ministry and money, and I said, I don't like the way some people hype money, which is true. She said, true. I don't like it. But she said, let's not, because we don't like it so much, make a mistake and talk down the genuine effect of money. We cannot deny that money has genuine effects. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Sincere, genuine effect. Money has made a lot of people to cry. Money has made a lot of people to take bad decisions. Am I saying the right thing? No matter how you love God, God wants you to have money. No matter how you love God, if there's no money, you will feel like something is not complete. It's not like you don't love God, though, but you know, there's something I need to fulfill. That's why God wants everybody that loves Him to have money. You say, must everybody have money? Listen, everybody is supposed to have money. Some people are saying that some people are supposed to be poor. Why not be you? Why are you hustling? So when I see those things on the internet, people saying, some people are supposed to be poor. Who told you that? Somebody now told me that if people are not poor, who will be bricklayers? Who will be digging foundation? See, let's just be rich. Anybody that, you'll be so surprised that somebody that has a duplex, when we are rich, everybody will do their work. See, I know what I'm telling you. You saw those engineers that are living in mansions, skyscrapers. They are the ones that are supposed to be digging foundation with their machine. When everybody is rich, government will force their engineers to go and dig foundation. Engineers, go and form blocks. You'll be so surprised that some of them, their big stomach will come and be molding blocks because they choose to become civil engineers. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Go to the white world. Who told you it's poor people that build house? The people that build house, they are worth millions of dollars. You see them controlling bulldozer. In Nigeria, how many people can control bulldozer that are engineers? I have money. Secondly, we are entering into an age where a lot of things will be very easy. And it's not demonic. I hear some people say it's demonic. AI technology, robotics. That's why I was telling them in the leadership yesterday. I said, some of you who are thinking you want to be government workers, a time is coming that they will reduce government workers. Whether you like it or not. Because everything now, all your files will be on the system. Everything, somebody can just sit down. And the job that 200 people were doing is the only one doing it. Give me soap, it will just search the file and they'll bring it. Whether the office burned, the file is still protected. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? In the US, do you think they used to go and look for where they keep somebody? Your father, God forbid, you lost your dad. Now they are looking. Have you heard it in Africa? They say, we don't see your father file. You think such thing happens out there? You'll now be going to the office. The woman is using 1 week to look for your father's file. Then finally, they'll now tell you, your father file, no deal. We're not sure whether we'll process the pension. Meanwhile, they've carried the file and put on that carpet. And truly, truly, some of them rat has eaten it. But there now, you say, my dad, they'll just type you, okay, that's the file, that's everything. Okay, you can start getting your money. Simple and short. One time, a leader will come to this state that will implement some of these things. Many people will lose their job as we're shouting hallelujah now. They'll lose their job. If you lose your job now, where will you be working? Look at the future of the world. Be advancing as the world is advancing. They say robotic, they say it's antichrist. Who told you that? In the white world now, if you go to a restaurant, it's not human beings that are serving food. In some good restaurants, you just a robot will come, you will tell the robot what you want, he will go and bring the food and come and give you. I won't ask you whether you like the food. I haven't observed. I heard that a man can be here as a doctor in Benue State and be performing an operation in Port Harcourt. Just put the machine and he'll be commanding the hand, removing the intestine and shifting the bone. And some people are telling us computer doesn't. Oh my God. See, tech is the future of the world, though. I know what I'm telling you. I'm not advertising my department to you people. So you have to advance as the world. Even doctors, a time will come, they'll say, sit down and learn a course for 6 months to be able to operate the machine. It's the truth. It will take Nathaniel, for instance, to teach them. It's the future of the world. See how the world is advancing. You have to advance too. You can imagine somebody that has a business, he doesn't have a page on Facebook. Then you say, I don't know why my blessing is not coming. Brother, this is why your blessing is not coming. Register the business. Say 25. How much to register? 25,000. 25,000. How much are they make? Say, Pastor, I want to go into tech. Say, what do you want to learn? Say, affiliate marketing. Say, the money you need to pay to learn this course is 30,000. Say, woo. 30,000? Say, yes. 3 months later, you meet the same person. Why are you not learning a course yet? Say, sir, the money they told me was 30,000. Where I want to get 30,000? If you are really sincere, you will get 30,000 and pay. Some people like pity party. You want to learn course, you are looking for a whole family to gather 30,000 for you to learn course. Your own 30,000, you still eat it and be waiting for people's own to learn the course because you think the world is revolving on your head. Some people have never paid 10,000 to learn something online. 10,000. They will say MMM came that time. He chopped people money, so I will not pay. Is MMM they are still blaming for not learning a course now? Say anything online, I need a like them all. Online things, now bad thing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say to you? The highest paid people in the world today are into tech. They are into tech. I'm not just teaching you. When I'm talking about money now for the church, you have to know that you have to have the money. You are the ones that will have the money. When you have it for yourself, your family, you can have it for the church. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if we don't teach you that you should be wired up to be successful, even the church will not have money. Is it not we that will give the money to church? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Let me give you some Bible scriptures about laziness. Are you ready for it? I'm about to close. But if we don't quote these scriptures, this service is not complete. I know some of you are timing one scripture as I said that, but I will not quote that one first. I'm looking for the scripture that says a little sleep. I must show you that scripture. You know, some people misunderstand that scripture. Proverbs 24:33. Everybody, let's read together. One, two, go. Next part of scripture. Go back to 33. Give me the TPT rendition. Let's read one to go. Professional work habits prevent poverty from becoming your permanent business partner. Hey, wait. It's not fight. Calm down. It said professional work habits prevent what? Poverty from becoming your what? Permanent business partner. Are you seeing that? It said, and if you put off until tomorrow, the work you could do today, tomorrow never seems to come. Then see this one, it will hit you. Next part of scripture. This is the actual meaning of that a little sleep. 34. Okay, it just captures it like that. Well, I think the summary is even there. Give me in the message rendition. A nap there. So let's see what comes next. 34. You can look forward to a dead poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. I want to take a nap small, then I'll join you later. You know, I told somebody one day, I said, I don't know how to sleep in the afternoon. He said, what? And let me not make it look like if you sleep in the afternoon, it's a bad thing. No. But some people, their afternoon sleep, they used to wake up by 6. They will not say they are, there's a word they use for themselves. People that stay indoors very well. Introverts. They say, I'm an introvert, I don't go out. Me, just give me my phone and give me light. That's all. You think they are doing a good thing with the phone and light? It's TikTok. The person that owns TikTok is a billionaire. The B does not have an end. B. That's why you can give somebody 30 million on TikTok. You know, I heard that they used to dash people lion. Lion is how many million? Eh? 300,000. Now, so this TikTok be. So I'll go, you will be dashing me lion. You. We will do something now. We'll be doing live service there. You will be giving us lion. When we gather the money, we'll share in church. So people will be there. Instead of watching, instead of using their time rightly, they are watching TikTok videos. It can be very addictive. You know, right? Then before you know, this time that amount is another thing. You know what I'm talking about. You will buy before you close that the thing has finished. Even husband and wife don't use to hold hotspot again. My mati don't use to hold hotspot for me again. Things are strong. See, Pastor Sam, have you finished checking what you are checking? I'm offing it all. So you see what the Bible said again in 33? It says, a nap here, a nap there. Unusual spirit of sleep. Even in church. Parash. Give me verse 33 again. You know something, as we are teaching now, this kind of hot message that should change your letter. A nap here, a nap there. A day of, you know, spirit of sleep is demonic. How many of you wanted to pray one day? You just make up your mind, today I will start praying 3 hours every day. As you did not do any hard work. Oh. 9 p.m. just reach. You just carry your Bible. Till the next day, 6 o'clock, you now wake up. It's the devil. But if you're watching movie, oh my God. 2 a.m., your eye is sharp. You'll be looking for G's partner. Say, you know, asleep. What could G's now? And anytime you want to do something important, that's when that spirit comes. Like now, the word of God is coming that should change your life. You. But if we finish here and go back home, it's straight seasonal movie. Straight to seasonal movie. Say, I rebuke every spirit of sleep in the name of Jesus. He said, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back. Take it easy. Tell somebody, don't take it easy. Shout, he said, don't take it easy. He said, do you know what comes next? Next part of scripture. What comes next is what? 34. Just this, you can look forward to a dead poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. Say, I refuse to be poor. Say it one more time. Say, I refuse to be poor. Proverbs 19:15. Proverbs 19, I'm talking about the people that are saying, I go do them tomorrow. Every day they tell us, I will do it tomorrow. Media fast, Proverbs 19:15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. And an idle person will suffer hunger. Barash. You see that deep sleep? I said, we're praying, Sister Chisom, what happened? So I don't know, sir. A deep sleep just entered me. Give me the TBT rendition. Let's read one to go. He said, go ahead, be lazy and what? Passive. He said, but you go hungry if you live that way. Thank God you are seeing it. Proverbs 6:9. Trying to round up now. Want to go? Let's power scripture. You see that laziness is tied to sleep. Sleep is tied to laziness. If you keep nodding off and thinking, I'll do it later, or say to yourself, I'll sit back a while and take it easy. Just watch how the future unfolds. Next part of scripture. By making excuses, you will learn that it means to go out without. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit and move in as your roommate for life. There are some people that have excuses for everything. In fact, excuse why they are not even laughing now in church. They have excuse. As people are smiling now, they have an excuse why they can't smile. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start recording the song next week. When we buy sound prints, when we buy digital mixer, so we need 5 woofers so we can start recording like everybody. It will bounce on you. Oh God. Proverbs 24:30-34. Reduce the movement. We're about to close. 24:30. One day passed by the field of a lazy man, and I noticed the vineyards of a slacker. I observed nothing but thorns, weeds, and broken down walls. Next part of scripture. It says, so I considered their lack of wisdom, and I pondered the lessons I could learn from this. Next part of scripture. It says, professional work habit prevent poverty. Okay, I think we've even read this. Proverbs 10:4. Slackers will know what it means to be poor, while hard workers becomes wealthy. Proverbs 12:24. Want to go? If you want to reign in life, don't sit on your hands. Instead, work hard at doing what's right. For the slacker will end up working to make someone else succeed. What? Church, are you listening to God? One last scripture, Proverbs 13:4. He said, the slacker wants it all and ends up with nothing. Have you seen people like that? They want everything. They end up with nothing. Only desire, no pursuit. But the hard worker ends up with all that he longed for. 2013. Today is the service of Proverbs. If you spend all your time sleeping, you grow poor. So wake up, sleepyhead. Don't sleep on the job. And then there will be plenty of food on your table. One last scripture. Proverbs 21:25. Taking the easy way out is a habit of a lazy man. Taking the easy way out, where there's no resistance, the path of least resistance, is the way of what? The habit of a lazy man. And it will be his own downfall. All day long, he thinks about all the things that he craves. For he hasn't learned the secret that the generous man has learned. Extravagant giving never leads to poverty. Kabaye. I know you didn't see this one coming. The person that wrote this is the richest man. He wrote it, so don't think it's a poor man that wrote this. He said extravagant giving cannot lead to poverty. It depends how you see it. And I said that to end with this. As a church, one of our forces to succeed, if we have the right vision, is finances. We have a plan. So people say, this pastor said all this to say this. Yes. Nathaniel, give me that design. Put it up. We have a plan. Are we together? Not this first one. I sent you one, isn't it? Okay, this is one Jerome did. There's one I sent to you. Put that one up. All right. Can you zoom it a little bit? Is it possible to zoom? All right. We have a plan to start building. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've gotten our land. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've gotten our land and it's time to build. Somebody may say we should take it easy. But you see, this is not... It's not our facility. Some of you even know the landlord here. It doesn't belong to us. Are we together? Yes, and if we are not even making progress, not even the landlord will think we are serious people. So we have to make progress. Somebody say, is it you actually live here if you are having issues to another rented property? It's foolishness, isn't it? It's not wisdom. So God laid it in our hearts and we plan for an auditorium. We planned for a land, firstly. We got the land for over 17 million. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's opposite the mega station, NMPC mega station, behind the polo feed. There are some lands there. That's where we got. We got 150 by 100 on one side. And we got, although we had a little glitch there, they told us they observed that our land had a little cut of the street. That's why you see it bent. Did you observe that? And by the side of this land, we have 100 by 100. We didn't argue because we don't want government problem in the future. You know, sometimes you'll be stubborn and build. And in the future, when the government come, you'll be thinking it's the devil. Are we together? So we just forgave and moved on. And the people were so wonderful to us. They actually refunded us the money for that part. And we used the money, joined with another money, and we got the other part. Which is 100 by 100. Because we believe you all will have your cars and we should be parking there. Yes, amen. So, that's it yet. So, these are designed for the auditorium. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory. If you observe, over here is 34. Here is 42. We forgot to put here is 26. And here is 39. And the church auditorium, 18 by 29. It's quite big. It's almost times two of this place. Amen? You don't like that? I thought you celebrate Jesus. It's almost times two. And here are the offices. Two offices here, and on top is my office and Mama T's office. Here is a children's church, and on top is a conference room where we have our board meetings and the rest. And here is the security. Here is the gate. Here is the entrance of the church, although we have some doors here. Here are toilets. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
And we'll do all the construction, GB tanks and the rest. Of course, they'll be there. So we were planning to actually do an actual building here, like building. And the Lord now spoke to us that we should take it easy. That's what the Bible says. If you have plans on time, commit it to the Lord.
Yes,
and Lord told us it would take over 50 million to build, but the Lord said, no, that's too much. And he said, rather, use that money to get everything you want to get. Both building, both sound, both media, and everything. And if change remains, they've proposed to sell some part of the land to us. And it's actually a bigger land, 200 by 150. So since they proposed it, I told them we'll get back to them. And we're trusting God that when we're done with our auditorium, we'll get that land there. Hallelujah to Jesus. I thought you'd celebrate too. So, we told them to wait, we're coming. In fact, we've been receiving offers to buy land. You know, people, when they saw us, they started saying, come and buy my own too, come on. So, we'll buy everything there. I don't know why they are calling us. For them to think we have all the money, we have all the money. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, so we are almost through with the registration of the land. You know how they take time in the land and survey. We're almost through, and it doesn't stop us from we've paid money for the design. So this is just like a rough sketch. They are designing the auditorium. You'll see it very soon when they are done. Are we together? We'll do a 3D design for you all to see. Hallelujah to Jesus. And it's Urban that are designing it. So this is it. And if you know about building, we observe all the rules. If you observe, there's 3 meters here. There's 2 meters behind. We don't want what, you know, the Bible says God will give us a wisdom and a mouth that our enemies will not gain a say. In the future, somebody will say you build inside the road. So we observe. In fact, we added change for them. In the front, I told them it's not going to be 3 safe. It's going to be 3.22. That 22 remaining at the side, we'll add it. Yes. Before they say our measuring instrument was not right. Hallelujah to Jesus. So this is a proposed auditorium, and it's going to be a semi-tent. I'll bring the picture next week. It's going to be a semi-tent. I saw the idea many years ago. I showed some of the pastors. You're going to have blocks to an extent, maybe this level. There'll be tiles outside. Then you use the glass at the top. You know the way they do tents. But our own is not starting from the base. Our own will reach here because we want to manage costs. And it will be more finer, I promise you. Amen? And then the glass, then the iron roofing. We are not compromising for the roofing. It's going to be metal. Are we together? And it's far lesser than an actual tent. Far lesser. Far lesser from our estimate. Are we together? So that's what we are planning to do. And in our heart, we budgeted around 50 million thereabouts. Yes, I know some of you are shocked, but it's the truth. The Bible says wisdom is profitable to what? Direct. Then for the sound, when we did our calculation for sound, it will shock you. But sound is over 13 million. When we did our calculation for the gadget, if you observe now, they are struggling with some of the gadgets. We had a problem in church one time and we lost some of our gadgets. Are we together? So since then we've been managing small. And the price for our gadget in the media is about 7 million. Hallelujah to Jesus. One other thing is the Mechanogen 30 kVA, which will cost over 5 million. 5.5, they said. 5.5 million. And our screen, although those things are not priorities, well, we have what we call scale of preference. We'll be going to the more important and less important. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's not a do or die affair. Of course, the most important is the auditorium, followed by the sound, followed by the gen, and the rest. Are we together? So we're trusting God that next year we should be in our auditorium. Now somebody may be wondering, please, let's reduce the movements. I'm about to close. Somebody may be wondering, Pastor, how will this thing happen? Let me define what a plan means to you. From dictionary definition. Let me define a plan to you. A detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. A plan is a what? Detailed proposal for doing or what? Achieving something. An intention or decision about what one is going to do. Are we together? So a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. We have a detailed proposal for achieving what we have said. Say amen. A very detailed proposal. And we saw in scripture how God spoke to us about plans. There are several scriptures. Although you are not going to quote any, I'll just say one of it and I'll show you the proposal. It says, he said, by wisdom, Proverbs 24, 3 to 4, a house is built. He said, by understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The first one I wanted to see is Luke 14, 28. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. He said, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? I said, don't quote it. Leave it at that. Are we together? You first estimate. So plans are very important. I told leaders yesterday. I said plans are like containers with which you use to fetch success. Are we together? Now we were able to get a land for 70 million. Yes, we look very young. But isn't it amazing that we're able to do that? And church? Because we had plans. You would think the little we're doing is not enough. But if you check it, if you join everything together, it's very, very enough. We started from the campus. We have spent nothing less than 50 million as a ministry from the campus. And as students from campus, we're able to do it down to this place. Some people joined us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit adding to us. With plans, we can achieve anything. Are we together? Yesterday, while we were talking in the leadership, we gave, for instance, we did an example on Thursday. Maybe you put that example for me, although that's not the actual example. We have people that partner in church. It's what we call partnership. And partnership is not my innovation. In the Bible, can you give me one of those scriptures I gave? First what? 16 what? 1 Corinthians 16:1. The people gathered money together every month. Paul commanded it to gather together for the ministry. So you see, it's not something we are starting today. Now concerning the collection of the saints, I have given orders to the church of Galatia so that you must also do so. Next part of scripture. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, sowing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. Stop. Look at what Paul said. He said the church should gather at the beginning of every month. It's not evil. They had plans. They had things to do. They use it sometimes to feed the poor. They use it sometimes for the work of the ministry. Are we together? Very important. So for us now, evidently, we need it because we want to build something. Are we together? I mean, we should not build church again. We should just be renting and stop existing. How many of you love what you heard tonight? You love God's word and you want to be hearing it every time. We just have to get into this season of sacrifice. It's not easy. In fact, I don't feel okay saying this because of the state of our country. But anyways, we still have to move forward. Yes, are we together?
Yes,
are you excited?
Yes,
so this is more like an example we did. Yesterday we did it more better. We found out we have more than all the pastors partner 50,000. And some leaders to partner 50,000. And we're not saying you must partner 50,000. Some of us do that. Even Mama T's mom is a partner in our church. Yes, God is faithful. And I think the last time she partnered $1 million. Yes. So she's been doing great too. God is sending back partners for us. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, it's not a must that you must speak the same amount everybody is speaking. There's a part of scripture I quoted on Thursday that said, we should give according to our strength and even beyond. What's that scripture? What? 2 Corinthians 8 verse. Second Corinthians what? Alright, let's just continue. The scripture is in 2 Corinthians 8. So, okay, thank you. They say 2 Corinthians 8, but you give us the scripture. It says, so let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think that's one of it. There's another one again. God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, that means we're saying you should not give because we are forcing you. Because it will not work for you. If you give because we are forcing you, you are just wasting your money. It says you should give proposing in your heart. Give me the other scripture in 2 Corinthians 8 before we show this last one and continue. 8 what? 8:12. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. Okay. Fast, please. Let's start from verse 1. Okay. The grace of God that is in the church in Macedonia. Next part of scripture. It said they gave out of their... That in their trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded the riches of their liberality. That's part of scripture. It says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing to give. So sometimes you give according to your ability and sometimes you stretch yourself a little bit. That's what is called sacrifice. And listen, I'm not saying you should give because God will bless you. But you can't help it. God blesses people that give to him. And when we read the book of Proverbs, it says something profound. It said, nobody ever goes out of poverty giving extravagantly. It does not mean giving anything, carrying all your money and coming to give to church. No, but giving sacrificially. Then Acts of the Apostles 1, I think verse 48, you will see where a man called Cornelius, can you remember that story? The Bible says he gave to the Lord and something happened. He was caught up in a vision. And the Lord said, sent an angel to tell him. He said, we have seen how that you have given for the cause of Christ and for the work of the ministry. And because of that, he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now God is sending men to you to come and answer the problems that are in your home. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what will happen to you, but it happened in the book of Acts. Cornelius was not a Jew, but he gave to the work of the ministry. And one time when he had a problem, God sent Peter to him. If you remember, Peter was praying. When they were telling the people that Peter is not available, Peter came down because an angel appeared to Peter and told Peter, somebody needs you, he's Cornelius. Go to him because he has given to the Lord willingly and God is pleased with him. Now that doesn't mean that if you don't give, God will not be pleased with you. Get my point. Are we together? I'm just trying to show that nobody should tell you that there are no advantages to giving. There are definitely advantages to giving. But we are not making it look like it's transactional. God is not going to bless you because you give alone. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There are a lot of things that define you as a Christian, not only giving. Sometimes you can give. If you have a bad character, God will not bless you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? A lot of things out there, but we are talking about giving as a focal point, so I have to really explain that. So you see, we have over, how many pastors do we have? 10. And I think we have like 10 other people who partner for 50,000. And that makes it 20. And yesterday we had some list of people who proposed 30, some proposed 40, some proposed 20, some proposed 10. And etc. So this was more like a rough calculation I did on Thursday. So I said, if everybody is able to partner, no matter the amount, down to even 5,000, we can get this job done. Everything we will need is less than 50 million. Look at our little plans, 20,000, 15,000, 10,000, and some that give 50,000, and some that give 30,000. Look at the little plans. As we're joining in, look at the powerful figure we'll get in how many months? 6 months. It's 19.5 million. So you would think it's a very big thing until you break it down into plans and goals. Then you'd be amazed. It's not big. When we got here, we wanted to rent this place. The first time we rented here, we paid 70% of the money. We didn't pay all. But since that time till today, before the rent finishes, we have a system that pays the rent 2 months before it finishes. Because of plans. For this year, we have already paid a long time ago. Are we together? And that's why we have never heard the landlord come here to enter church and say he's visiting us. He just wants to see how we are doing. No. He visits from goodwill. He has never had a problem with us. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's how we can achieve this. So, when it's time for project, it's not time to run away from church. Even if you say you cannot give, there's no problem. Are you all listening to me? But we have to propose it anyways. Don't because you say, church, GCMI, they build, I want to change church. No. Whether you like it or not, we have to build. Whether you have money or not, we have to build. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Because it's not only you that exists in the church. If you don't have, somebody else may have. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Church, are you understanding me? So this is the idea. This is it. This is more like a rough sketch. As the Lord lays it in your heart. Partnership is something we do every month. Every month. We've started the project already. We want to make sure we put a borehole there. Like I said, they are doing the design, so we cannot build now. Until the urban guy is done with the design. But we are making sure that on Tuesday or so, we'll know where the borehole location should be so that we'll start trying to dig the borehole and the rest. An industrial borehole for that matter. 90 meters. Hallelujah to Jesus. And etc. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. There's something the Lord laid in my heart, but I'm not so sure we'll fulfill that immediately. Because, let's just forget that for now. So that's it. Are we together? Now imagine 19.5, which what we have is more than 19.5 till next year, first quarter of next year. So do 19.5 times 3. 666. How much do you get? That this is just an assumption. 19.5 times 3. 60.5? 58.5, which is more than what we are looking for. Are you seeing that? More than. And it's even possible that God will cause this thing to work in a way that before the second quarter, the first quarter finishes of next year, we are even into our tutorial. It's very possible. Hallelujah to Jesus. So please, this is why we are planning everything we are planning. We don't want to get anything substandard. Some of you are saying, sound 30 million? Is it not too much? When we started ministry, see the first speaker we got, this side. No, this side. But we still had to buy again. Because we people were not hearing us well. So when we buy a sound, I'll make sure in the next 7 years, we don't buy sound. Are we together? We want to get gadget, I'll make sure in the next 7 years, we don't get gadgets. And like I said to the leaders last week in the partnership meeting, I said, imagine our rent is our maintenance service. Every year now we kill one cow and we celebrate Christmas. We call it Suya Night. Do you understand? Because we pay over $1 million+. That will buy any kind of cow we want. As long as APC is coming down. Are we together?
Yes,
so that's it. Are you excited with the plans?
Yes, sir.
Do you love the plans?
Yes, sir.
Celebrate Jesus, every one of you. So this is what we are proposing in our heart. And the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Don't be under pressure. As you are led, you can call. And don't form. In church, don't form. Don't say, Kai, I go call that babe. They tell her, say, me, I will give 10,000. She goes, say, I don't get money. It's not about that. Give what you can. Continue giving. Because when you propose to give, you become part of our plan. We check everything everybody is giving. Then we start planning with it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So don't give to improve nobody. Give from the depth of your heart. Are we together? So after the service, you can meet any of our pastors. Just stand up, pastors. And HODs, where is Amaka? Turn towards them, let them see you. These are the pastors. I don't think Amaka is inside. Probably she's outside. You can meet any of them and tell them you want to be a partner. Are we together? And, well, this is even too long. You can meet your neighbor. If you ask your neighbor, are you a member? Are you a strong member? Can we do that for 1 minute? Ask a neighbor. Everybody ask a neighbor. Are you a strong member? If your neighbor say, I'm a strong member, you can meet the neighbor. They will bring you to any of the pastors. And one more question. Ask your neighbor this sincere question. Say, neighbor, you get department for church? What did the neighbor say? Say, you will get. You did serious for the department? Now, one last question. This one now, you have to write down the answer. Say, neighbor, are you a partner? What did the neighbor say? For some of them that didn't give you an answer, they are not partners yet. Just tell the neighbors, don't feel bad. Just start from where you are, and God will bless you. Are we together? Do you feel blessed? Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's be seated. So we have come to the end, to the conclusion of the service. And just like our mission statement said, it says, how we achieve that is to making sure, it says we want to get a world class. Okay, our strategy to fulfilling this God-given vision is to train and what? Equip men to go into every system of the world and take over for God's kingdom, which we are doing today. He said to have a what? World class auditorium that has been never been heard about in Benue State, Nigeria, and the entire nations of the earth. This way, men from every part of the world can come comfortably, sit, and be transformed into God's plan. There's within us, by the Spirit, a voracious appetite to making sure what God has showed us becomes a reality. So, that time now, all of you will not be doing like this. In that auditorium, AC will be blowing on everybody. Yes. Yes. We have told all the departments. Every department, we are giving one AC. Me, I'm giving one to me and my wife. We are giving. In fact, we can vex and give one self. She has money. We can vex and give one. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's it. Everybody be very diligent. Is that okay? And please, as the Lord has proposed in your heart, be a partner. Any amount, start from there. Together, we'll become a strong force, and this will become a reality. All of us will be there celebrating the auditorium. We'll finish everything plus the sound. Then we'll go and celebrate our first service there. That first service there is service of dance. Alright, something beautiful again. This August, by God's grace, we are hitting the city of Abuja. And if you are in Abuja, this is a good news for you. If that's your base, we are coming to the city. Before August, you hear the venue. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's going to be around Karu there. You hear the venue. And all of us in Maraba, Apo, Nasarawa, we can come. And some of us in Maitama, whatsoever, we can come to. It's a midpoint for the two places. This year, from August. Hallelujah to Jesus.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.